Hey guys, it's Nate with another episode of The Untucked Life, where we focus on caring a lot more about a lot less. And in today's episode, I take five key learnings from digging a 35-foot trench in my front yard and how those five things apply to your life in more ways than you might think. So stay tuned for that. I think you'll enjoy it. So trench digging. You might just stop the audio right now because maybe that's not interesting and you're not into physical labor. And I totally get that. But what was really interesting after the fact, and just to give a little bit of background, last Monday, Memorial Day, woke up and we had a pretty bad pipe leak. And long story short, had a couple different plumbers out, and basically what they all said was, you're gonna have to repipe your house. Okay. So going through that process, got a couple different quotes, and we settled on a vendor, you know, good reviews, very, you know, as excited as you could be to start a rather unexpected and process. But we get the quote, and first day, the guys come back and they say, hey, you know what? We can't find your water service at your house. So we're going to have to dig a trench from the water line to the house, and that's going to be an extra $1,200. And it's already an expensive project, and here's an additional $1,200 on top of whatever it is you already had swallowed. But they said, but if you want to do it yourself, you can save some money. I said, okay. So I said, sure. You know, I'll do it. So why might I be talking about that on a podcast? Specifically a podcast that's not about awful manual labor. And the reason is there are some key takeaways, I think, from an approach standpoint that I used that might be a little bit cliche, but I think that they have application outside of this one project. And the first one is really just right off the bat, mindset, and how important your mindset is in any of these situations, specifically negative situations. So I'm of the opinion that the victim mentality is kind of the default mindset, right? Something bad happens, you know, you've been wronged personally by the universe, and things like this shouldn't happen to people like you, right? Well, it's just a bunch of BS, because there is no such thing as people like you and people like them, right? We're all just people. No one's above or below life, right? So I think the first one is just understanding that if something bad's going on, your mind is probably going to go directly to feeling sorry for yourself, right? And it's not helpful. So one thing that I like to do, just to get a little bit of perspective, right? And they say, well, practice gratitude. Well, I mean, gratitude can be very helpful, but well, it's very easy to do in a superficial way. But one thing I like to do is to latch on to stories, right? And the story that came to mind was something I had recently heard was about Nelson Mandela, and that he was in prison for, I don't know, 25, 27 years. And that during that time, I want to say, one of the things he had to do was chip rocks or chip stones down to rocks, small rocks. And that he would just constantly work at this. And that they wouldn't even use the small stones. They would just get rid of them. But his prison sentence was like 25 years. 27 years. Right? I'm only 35 years old. That'd be like me spending, you know, 2/3 of my life in prison. It's unbelievable. Literally can't wrap my head around that. So you think about somebody like that, what they went through and what they ended up accomplishing, and you say, okay, well, he endured that. How bad can it really be to dig a trench, regardless of how long it is, right? It's definitely not going to take 20 some odd years, right? Because immediately what you go to, I think, is a totally exaggerated state of how awful this is going to be, right? It's going to take forever. We like to use those terms. It's impossible. There's no way. But at the end of it, let's say total hours spent, let's say digging a trench, it's going to be such a small sample of your total week or month or year that you could, and you're quite able to endure it. So I think that mindset is really key. All right. You're going to automatically go to the victim, and it's totally understandable, but you can't stay there. If you stay there, it's just a weakened state. So really try to get some perspective, try to practice a little bit of gratitude. The easiest way I have found to wrap my head around situations like that is to look for counter examples or examples of people that have gone through significantly worse, right? So and just read about them and understand, because most of them, most of what you'll find is that people went through these hard times and they got through them. So that makes you feel a little bit better, makes you feel like things are possible. So that's the first one, mindset, right? And then once you've got your mindset down, the next one really is get the right tools. And this sounds silly, but I like to think of things on a spectrum. So I need to dig a trench. What's the worst possible tool I could use? Maybe it's a spoon. What is the craziest, most over-the-top tool I could use? Let's say a bobcat or a trench digger or one of those huge, massive trucks that you see on those like Tonka shows. Okay. So obviously I'm going to be somewhere in the middle there. So assembling the tools, taking the time up front to make sure you have the right items. And it sounds silly, but I drove over to my dad's house and picked up a trench shovel, which is like a really skinny shovel with a pretty good point on it that is made specifically for digging trenches, because that's what you want to use if you're digging trenches, right? Along with like some handheld, I guess it's a pickaxe. I don't really know. I'm not up on my farm lingo, but go get the right tools. So same thing if you're starting a project. It sounds silly, but for this podcast, right? I did a good amount of research to figure out what type of mic do I need? What type of recorder do I need? What type of camera do I need? Because before just jumping into it, take a minute and figure out what tools are going to make it easier for you. You know, what's the right thing for the job? And then, again, this might sound cliche, but, sharpen your tools. So the shovel, the pickaxe, literally before spending hours and hours and hours of wailing with these tools, sharpen them. You know, I know that there's an old saying that says if I had, 10 hours to cut down a tree, I'd spend 9 hours sharpening my axe. And it's so true. Right? So whatever the tools are that you have, before you start that work, before you start that project, before you start that job, sharpen them, whatever that might be. read up on books, take a refresher course, review some stuff online. There's so much information out there. There's the access to sharpening your skills, whatever those skills might be, right? Anything from music to accounting. You can probably find a YouTube video or a free online course that will help you. So spend some time, one, identifying the right tools, but then also making sure that those tools are in the top condition. And the next thing is something I've struggled with, I still struggle with, and that's ask for help. And that might sound totally stupid. And maybe it's a guy thing, a stupid male ego thing. I don't know what it is, but asking for help is something that I have struggled with, I want to say, my entire adult life. And one thing that has helped me in this area is to realize that there is no honor in killing yourself just to prove that you could do it without asking someone, right? And this applies to every type of relationship, your marriage, work, friendship, right? And the way that I wrap my head around this, the way that I make myself feel better about leaning, right? Because that's really what you do. You're leaning back on your support system, is to make it a point to be okay with letting people help you because you're going to help them in the future. And if you have that mindset and you're the type of person that when somebody calls and they need you to help that move that stupid piece of furniture, or they need to borrow something, can I come to your house and print something, or can you help me with this website or whatever it might be, you're there for them, and that's great. But you also need to let people be there for you. And it sounds silly, but I know this is something that I struggled with a long time, specifically in my marriage, is just only wanting to be the helper and not the helpee. And that's no way to have a relationship. And specifically, like for me, for the kids, my asking them for help is not a sign that I'm a weak man or a weak dad. It shows that I'm human, just like them. And you'd be surprised, I think specifically with dads and young boys, that those boys, if they don't ever see you struggle, they don't ever see you work hard at something, they don't ever see you ask for help, well, they're going to internalize that, and they're not going to be quick to ask for help either. So asking your kids to help and explaining to them why you need help and why whatever it is that they're going to help you with is important, is critical. And I still joke around with my dad about this because he's not the best at asking for help either. So, it's kind of like a running joke between the two of us is, who's going to ask for help first. So by the end of the job, I had my dad come over and help me with some stuff. And I had my oldest son and one of his buddies from the neighborhood, help as well. And could I have done the whole thing myself? Absolutely. I could have. It would have taken me a little bit longer. I'd have been a little bit more sore today. But I definitely could have done the whole thing by myself. But I didn't have to, because I have people, in this case, friends and family in my life, right? And part of having a relationship with people is helping them. But it is also allowing yourself to be helped, right? That is not a sign of weakness. That is a sign of a mature emotional state. So ask for help. The next one, it sounds silly, and it goes back to kind of the kid story of the tortoise and the hare. And what I mean by that is focus on constant progress. Right? Don't stop. And this is where it really is helpful to have some people that are working with you is that you can take turns, right? In so many instances, it's easy to get going on a project and go 100 miles an hour for a week, 2 weeks. And then you burn out. And sometimes it's not even burnout. It's just that you didn't appreciate or appropriately estimate the amount of effort that it's going to take to achieve the thing that you want to achieve. So you get discouraged and you stop. And you stop for one day. And then you stop for a week. And then it's a month. And before you know it, it's a year. And you're still stopped. And what I think a better way to do it is just to keep it going, however slow the pace, but to not stop the progress. So better to write, you know, for 5 minutes a day, every day, than, you know, to simply write intensively for a week, right? It's that exercise of continually making progress, right? I think that's the mark of a true professional, so to speak, is that you keep doing the work. So constant progress, don't stop. And in the case of digging a trench, what that means is, you know, have some type of system in place where maybe one person is using one tool and then once they get tired, somebody else comes in and does something and you take a breather for 5 or 10 minutes and you let yourself recover, whatever that might look like. Whether that might be a full night's sleep, that might be a nap, that might be meditation or journaling, whatever that is for you from a metaphor or metaphorically, so to speak, do that. But take your break and then get back in there, right? Make sure your break stays a break and doesn't turn into a permanent state of inaction. So keep going. Constant, slow progress, but progress nonetheless. And the last one is fix what you break. And what I mean by that is that progress, specifically if it's intense progress, is there's going to be some things that fall apart, right? That might be relationships. That might be pipes. In the process of digging the trench, we broke 2 different sets of pipes, right? I mean, you're swinging a pickaxe and, you know, you hit a PVC pipe and the pickaxe is going to win every single time. And there's an interesting concept here, because we broke 2 pipes, right? And I think this is a perfect analogy with life. So you break 2 things, right? One pipe was an irrigation pipe. And the other pipe was actually the old water line, right? It was kind of right where it comes out of the meter, and it was the old, like, potable water line. So we break the 2 pipes, and we complete the trench, and then we go back to fix them. So irrigation pipe, fix first. So, you know, dig out around the trench, dig out the pipe, fix it, wait a little bit, turn the sprinklers back on, boom, no leak. And without thinking, I say to my dad, I'm like, hey, Pops, we got to fix this other pipe, the main water line, just because it's broken. And he said, no, you don't. I said, why not? He said, because they're going to run a new line. So there's no point in fixing that. And it sounds silly, but that is exactly how you should approach, how I should approach, things that fall apart. Specifically, if it's during a time in which you are making, let's say, progress personally, professionally, relationally, right? That could be friendships. You could have friendships that suffer. Doesn't mean all of them need to be repaired, right? You could have habits, maybe a TV show, maybe some recreational activity that you used to do because that's just what you used to do and now you stop doing it. And you need to think about, well, if I stopped doing it while I was doing this other thing that I'm really passionate about, do I want to get back to that? Do I need to get back to that? You know, will I be able to survive as a human being missing most of the Game of Thrones episodes? Probably. Right? Will I be okay if I stop going to Wednesday night bowling or Thursday night softball or whatever it might be? If you're giving those things up to pursue something else, right? Something that's bigger, something that hopefully gives you some sense of purpose and fulfillment, something that is worth sacrificing things for. Because inevitably, as you're moving forward, things are going to fall away. And which of those things do you need to repair? And which of those things do you need to just leave and let them be and continue moving forward? And that, I think, is a very interesting thing to just contemplate, because so often you just want to fix everything because it's different than how it was, but that doesn't warrant a fix, right? Because maybe you didn't need that to begin with. So that was a very interesting thought exercise towards the end of the project. And, you know, once you make it through, right? I'm using air quotes, make it through a tough time, right? Or you make it through a process that you're just starting for the first time, a new venture, a new endeavor, a new project. Look back at it and see what it actually took, right? It sounds silly, but, you know, when somebody said, hey, we need you to dig a 35-foot trench, in my head, going back to the victim mentality, oh, it's going to take forever. I don't even know how long forever is, but it's often the amount of time it's going to take when I think about something that doesn't sound enjoyable. It's forever. In reality, it took maybe 5 hours max. And that was starting on Friday evening, wake up on Saturday morning, and work in the morning. And by lunchtime, we were done with most of it besides fixing the pipes. So what's 5 hours? What's 5 hours of work, right? How long does it actually take you to write that blog post that you're freaking out about and that you can't get out of your own way on? How long does it take you to record a video about something that you care about, something you're passionate about, right? How long does it really take you to learn how to create a Wix website or a Squarespace website, right? How long does it actually take for you to set up an Etsy store? How long did it take me, so to speak, to figure out how to do this podcast, right? How long does it take for me to record this episode? In the grand scheme, not long. So if it's something that you really want to do, right, break it down. And for me, these steps really helped. One, mindset, make sure you have some perspective on the project or the problem that you're facing. 2, get the right tools. Make sure that you're prepared to tackle whatever this thing is. 3, ask for help. Don't be above asking for help. That's the reason why we're social creatures. 4, keep going. Whatever it is, focus on constant, slow progress. And then 5, fix what you break. But be thoughtful. And make sure that the things that you are repairing, the things that you are keeping, are things that you want or things that you need, not just things that you had, because it's not the same. All right, well, that wraps up another episode of The Untucked Life. Hope you enjoyed it. If so, please leave a review, share it with a friend, subscribe. It's the easiest way for us to grow our audience, reach more people. And if you haven't done so already, check out theuntuckedlife.com, sign up for our newsletter. There are more videos and blog posts and articles on there that I think you'll really enjoy. And until next time, just remember, The Untucked Life, all about caring a lot more about a lot less. See ya.